Amen. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 today. Really enjoyed the good music this morning, especially enjoyed that offertory hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Wonderful song. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Let us pray together. Father, we're so thankful for this time that we can come and look to your word. We pray that you'll bless our time together here now as we study in your word and preach your word. Lord, we just pray that your wisdom will be part of this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read here, we read of Paul as he says, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, what he is saying here is, alluding to the Old Testament sacrifice, and I guess you would call it the drink offering we poured out upon the sacrifice there at the end. It's sort of a tale of nothing held back, everything given. And we know Paul's circumstance here, that he's, the best he can tell in his mind at this point, is awaiting an execution. And he's saying here, hey, even if that comes, I'm still going to rejoice with you. And then in verse 18, he says, for that same cause, because of my rejoicing, you also have joy and rejoice with me too, in spite of the circumstance. And that's what I want to talk to you about here today. Rejoicing in all. Rejoicing in all. I'll begin by asking you this. What is it you're facing today? I imagine that everybody that's sitting in here today has a burden to bear this week. Now, yours is different than mine, and mine is different than yours, and yours is different than the person sitting next to you. But every one of us in here today, if we were to go around the room and survey us all, would say, well, I have this that I'm worried about, or I have that that I'm concerned about, or I have this that I'm praying about, or I have this burden to bear this week. Every one of us in here. I was taught as a teenager, a man said to me one time, he said, be nice to everybody because everybody's going through something. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Everybody could use us being nice to them. I'd ask you, in thinking of what it is that you're facing this week, is can you smile at that storm? We talked last week, and I sang a little song for you. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Can you smile at that storm, or does it have you? Our theme today is rejoicing in all. Now, this should be a jubilant message. It should be a jubilant time together as we think of rejoicing in all. But I'll say to you this morning, if your storm has you, it's hard. This is a hard message because I'm telling you to do something you don't want to do, that you're not prepared to do, that you don't feel like you can do. So I'm the guy telling you the thing to do that you don't want to do, like when my doctor tells me to exercise more. To rejoice in all in the middle of a storm that has us is not an easy thing to do. Do you rejoice in all, or are you facing something that has taken your joy? I would submit to you today that in all of life's circumstances, whether in pain, in suffering, in loss, in death, in prison, in facing uncertainty, the salvation process is going on for those who trust God. Thus, every day is a day of rejoicing. Paul wrote this in Philippians 1:6, and we studied it before, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus has begun this good work in you? If you do, then you know that He is performing, that He is working in you even now as you face this storm, this trial, this burden, this pain, this uncertainty. Knowing this, rejoicing is the order of every day. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 8. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you persuaded of that this morning? Boy, I'm persuaded of that. There is nothing that can come between me and God. I'm in the palm of His hand, and no man can pluck me out. I'm hidden under the shadow of His wing in the cleft of the rock. And there is nothing that can touch me that doesn't pass through God's hand. No matter what you're facing here today, there is still cause to rejoice because we are still God's children. He is still our Father. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what storm we're in the boat with, He is right there in the boat with us. Praise the Lord for that this morning. Rejoicing in all. Rejoicing in all is to rejoice in two ways. One, to rejoice in our present circumstance. and to rejoice with others in their circumstance. Let's begin first with rejoicing in present circumstances. And this is the hardest of it, really, is to get ourselves to the place that we say, praise God anyhow. No matter what I'm facing, God's still God. God's still good. It's better than the alternative. I'd rather face this with God than to face this without God. Amen. Rejoice in present circumstances. Verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Do you remember Paul's circumstances? I mean, we're all facing something today, but we'd have to back away for that a little bit. And I know it's important to you and it's right where you are right now, but you've had to back off that a little bit and say, man, it's nothing like what Paul had to face. Paul was jailed for nothing. For if for anything, he was jailed for standing on the promises of God. Amen. Right? He was transported from one judge to the next because none of them knew what to do with him. Because he wasn't really guilty. So they just shuffled him around and said, well, go see this guy. Go see. And then Paul, he took advantage of that and said, let me go see that guy. Share the gospel with him while I'm there. During one of those transports, Paul is shipwrecked to near death. They had him out there fasting in the middle of a boat. I mean, Paul was facing a mess here. And then when he finally got to his end destination, even the church leaders there in that town began to stop caring for him. Paul was in a rough way. This was a bad time for him. And he sits every day awaiting only one thing. His hope in life is only one thing, is that my death may be coming soon. That's Paul's circumstances. And we still read here today that he finds reason to rejoice. From the human perspective, we'd have to say, what is it that Paul's finding joy in? How in the world is he rejoicing in this circumstance? He ought to be boohooing. But Paul said, none of that matters. We've read before, as he said many different things, why he has found cause to rejoice. And here he reiterates that point and says, hey, I found joy and I'm going to rejoice. All through this writing, we find his reasons to rejoice no matter what. In chapter 1, we read in verse number 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Hey, there are things and people in our past that we can think back on and we can find reason to be thankful because of things in our past. In verse number 4, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Sometimes we just have to add the joy in. Sometimes we just have to make ourselves happy. He said, that's what Paul said, didn't he? He said, I think myself happy, when he was before Agrippa. Agrippa said, how in the world are you happy? And he said, I just think myself happy. I do that sometimes. I think myself good looking. I'm no Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt or whoever these guys are, but I just think myself that way. And then I walk around with this big grin on my face with this load of confidence that that's going to be all right. And you all can look at me and say, man, that's one ugly guy. I don't know where he gets all that beaming confidence from. Well, I just think myself good looking. And then I pay Brother Rye to tell me that I am too, and that helps. Thank you, Brother Rye. I appreciate that. In Philippians 1:12, Paul says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. What wonderful perspective. Hey, if it hasn't happened to me, but it means the furtherance of the gospel, Paul says, that's all right with me. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Hey, he said, I don't care what happens. If Christ is preached, I can rejoice, and I'm going to rejoice because of that. If it means me being locked in a jail cell. Boy, if Paul only knew what he was saying then. I don't think he understood what the Holy Spirit was inspiring him to stay there. Because Paul was in that jail cell, I'm preaching Philippians to you this morning, thousands of years later. You get that? My goodness. Paul's circumstance was not good, but Paul found reason to rejoice. And Paul was rejoicing in that he did not know that we all rejoiced in this morning, that we have these writings here to share with each other. In chapter 2, verse 16, we dealt in this last week as he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hey, you're facing a mess, you're facing a trial this morning, but God's word shall never fail. God's word will never fail you. God's word will never discourage you. God's word will always be there for you. Amen. We can hold forth the word of life. I know this is a hard thing, but we must do the same as Paul. No matter what comes, we must rejoice in all. We must keep a constant mindset of what we truly deserve in life. What do you truly deserve in life? Nothing, right? I mean, if you want to make it something, you could add eternal damnation there. But really, in life, we deserve nothing. If you think of that, if you start out at zero, what's anything else on top of that? Yeah, extra credit. Bonus. Did y'all used to get extra credit in school? Boy, I love those extra credits. We'd have spelling tests. And we'd have our 10 or 30 words or how many it was that week, and you had to write them all week long, and then on Friday, the teacher would call them out. You know, you'd write them down as she called them out. She would start off our day on Friday morning, number your papers. And we'd number our papers, put your name at the top and the date. And then she called them out. She'd put your word down there that she said. And she said, now, for those of you who'd like to try, you don't have to, but here's your bonus. And we would put bonus under there, and I'd put a star by it when I'd write my bonus. And I'd underline bonus, and I'd write that word out there that she wrote, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Hey, listen, I like bonus. I like cake, but I love icing on top of my cake. I mean, I'll eat cake without icing. You bring me a homemade pound cake, fresh, nothing better. But you bring me a cake with icing on top of that cake, that's just more. That's just better. I like pie. Don't I, Brother Rye? Amen. I mean, he has to pull me away from the pie sometimes when we're having lunch together. And he'll say, Brother, do I need to call your wife? You're having pie again. But I'll tell you what I like better than pies. When I found out, I was about 17 years old, and I found out about this word called a la mode. Y'all heard of this? Oh, man. I didn't know pie could be any better. And I was at a restaurant down in Jacksonville, Florida. And it was late at night after a church meeting. We used to go to this place. I can't even remember the name. Famous Amos was the name of this restaurant. And we'd already had dinner. We'd go eat late at night and feel horrible the next morning. And she said, do you want that? I said, I want a piece of pecan pie. And she said, do you want that a la mode? And I said, a la what? You know, I don't know what this is. She said, oh, that just means a scoop of ice cream on top. And I said, yes, of course. Of course I do. Why wouldn't I? Hey, when we put ourselves in our place, that all we deserve is nothing, then the very breath that we're breathing right now is a blessing. Amen. The sunshine on your face is reason to smile. The air conditioning, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, the car you drive, all of life's blessings are cause to rejoice. From there, all else is a bonus. An author named Dunham wrote this about what we're reading about here, and I thought he had a very unique perspective about this very thing, is our relationship to God. He said a Christian should be like a sheepdog. When the shepherd wants him to do something, he lies down at his feet, looks intently into the shepherd's eyes, and listens without budging until he has understood the mind of his master. Then he jumps to his feet and runs to do it. And the third characteristic, which is not less important, at no moment does the dog stop wagging its tail. Well, that's a thought, isn't it? Well, that's wonderful. The second thing I would talk to you about here today is verse 18. Not only do we rejoice in all, but rejoice with others. Notice verse 18. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Now, this is not to say that when we find out someone has trouble, that we call them up and say, congratulations. I heard things are going bad for you, and I'm just so happy to rejoice with you in that thing. No, you have to do that on their time. They will begin to find cause to rejoice, and as Paul says here, for that same reason, so he gave his reasons, and then he said to the church of Philippi, for that same reason you all are rejoicing. When somebody finds their cause to rejoice, then you rejoice with them. It may be in the beginning that you mourn with them, that you grieve with them, that you cry with them, or you sit there while they grieve and mourn and cry. But when they find reasons to rejoice, stop treating them like they're dying and rejoice with them as they found reason to rejoice. Amen. Where the human beings are the world's worst when someone has a problem, I mean, we'll go at them like that's the end. You know, we get that look on our face like we've seen a ghost, and we get so sad. I know we have to go be serious and be appreciate the gravity of the situation. But I mean, if we're not careful, we'll make that person feel worse than what they're facing makes them feel already. You know, we'll go at them like, and they're just probably just like, whoa, you're more concerned about this than I was. You know, we need to rejoice with them. they will find the silver lining in their cloud. They will begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. They will come to the realization that Christ is in the boat with them during their storm. When they share this with you, stop treating them like a dead man and rejoice with them in their circumstance. Paul notes here that the Philippians are rejoicing with them. He says, for the same cause, for those things he wrote of in verse 17, they too rejoice. Paul has found cause to rejoice while trapped in prison. Paul has found reason to be thankful, though he's facing execution. And the church at Philippi is rejoicing with him. They weren't being poor friends like Job had. Do you remember Job's friends? Job's friends were miserable comforters. Were they not? I mean, they were there to comfort him, but they did a miserable job with it. They said, hey, Job, just admit that you sinned and get right with God. And Job said, I'm sitting here in my integrity. Even Job's wife said, I can't stand to be like this. I can't stand to see you like this. Just curse God and die. It's easy for us to be this same miserable comfort during another's trouble. Not knowing how to act, we can become more sorrowful than they are. We begin to treat them like this is the end and completely leave off the fact that God will bring glory to Himself through this thing. If you've ever experienced the intimate days and hours of a true believer's passing, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. Everybody else is crying. They're excited to see Jesus. They're saying their goodbyes. They're like a person fixing to go on a lifelong awaited trip, and they can't wait to go. It's a wonderful time for them. Sad for us, but it's a wonderful time for them. Rejoice with fellow believers. When we can rejoice with each other in the storm, God gets the glory, and Satan has his day ruined. You know what the old devil wants us doing? He wants us all acting like this is the end. Woe is me, and I'm going to make it through it. I can't believe this is happening to me. This is the end. I knew it would come someday. I guess I'll just have to sit back and take it. And a defeated Christian is Satan's favorite Christian. But this is not the end. Even in death, this is not the end. For the believer, death is just the beginning, is it not? That's not the end. It's resurrection ground. It's our time to be planted and begin a new life. Begin the life that we were meant to live in the beginning. Paul knew this. He said in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. In verse 23, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But I know I need to be with you guys. And he said, I don't know what to pick. Rejoicing in all. Find joy in your circumstance and praise God. I know that's hard. But I promise you, there's joy. Some joy. If you can't find it in that particular circumstance, God is still God, and you can find joy in that. The Word of God is still the Word of God, and you can find joy. Jesus is still Jesus. He is Lord. You can find joy in that. Make fun of me and find joy in that. Find joy in your circumstance. No matter how you have to, find joy in your circumstance. While rejoicing or trying to rejoice or focusing on our circumstance to find joy in our circumstance, it is easy to become over-focused or very... It can become like we seem we're self-centered during our circumstance. And I want to tell you this not for your own sake, but for the sake of those who would look on the outside in at your circumstance. A man named Gordon Fee is another great author, has well written. He said, this is not sour grapes, nor making the best of a bad situation, nor delight in feeling bad. He says, this has to do with true faith and thus proper perspective, based as it is on the unshakable foundation of the work of Christ, both past and future. We're not sitting around sucking lemons and saying, glory to God. No, it's not that at all. It's because we understand the pure and true foundation, the unshakable foundation of the Word of God that we build our lives upon. You see, we serve a risen Savior. Our God is not dead. He is alive. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin, and He conquered sin's curse. He conquered this world and all that this world will throw at us. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you face this week, no matter what you face next year, Jesus has already conquered that thing. Oh, you've got to go through it. But is He not the master of the storm that you're facing? Can He not say, peace be still? Sure He can. He said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Amen.
Well, if you can't rejoice in anything this morning, rejoice in the fact that when you leave this church and you walk out into that world, Jesus has already overcome this world.
Amen.
My goodness. We begin our day today in Habakkuk 3:18. I want to read it to you again, and this time I want to include verse 17. Listen to this. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." What does that sound like, the world you're living in? That's verse 17. But do you remember what verse 18 said? "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Nothing can touch us unless it passed through God's hand. Let's all stand. Miss Wiggins is going to play us a verse of a song on the piano here for a time of prayer. I want to say first, if you're here today and you've never been saved, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
It's a wonderful day to become a believer, to accept Jesus in your heart as your Lord, get on the right path. But for those of us here who are believers, we have cause to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's bow our heads and have a time of prayer.